Hi, this is Stephanie Pauline. I'd like to introduce you to a dear friend of mine. His name is Jesus. Now, in order to do this introduction justice, I have to go back quite a ways. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God wanted to create beings that were capable of the greatest power in the universe. The greatest power in the universe is love. The Bible says that when all else fades away, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The Bible goes on to describe love, and love is patient, love is kind, and it ends, sums up the whole thing by saying love never fails. Pretty huge statement. So love is the greatest power in the universe. Now, in order to create beings that were capable of love, God had to create beings that were able to choose. He had to create free beings that either could choose love or not choose love. And when God gives a gift, he doesn't revoke it. So God gave freedom. He gave the ability for us to have the greatest power in the universe, love, if we choose it. Well, the Bible says that we have all used that freedom that we were given to choose less than the best, less than love. We have all believed on some level that God did not have our best interest at heart, and so we went about trying to achieve our will, our way, rather than trusting in God's will and God's way. The Word of God also says that God is love. He is in himself the essence, the quality, the nature of love. So if we choose to use our freedom to separate ourselves from God, from the source of all love and from love itself, well, what does that mean? What is the absence of love? Well, the absence of love is fear, despair, anxiety, suffering. The Bible also tells us that God created and sustains all life. So if we are choosing to separate ourselves from the source of all life, from the creator of all life, what does that mean for us? If we're using that freedom that God gave us that way, what does that mean? Well, it means basically death, suffering, and sickness. The absence of life, that's what we're choosing. Corporately, this means that we chose worldwide suffering, really. Even the earth itself is groaning, the Bible says, crying out for God's healing. We were placed in dominion over the planet, so when we chose death for ourselves, chose to separate ourselves from life and from the source of life, everything under our influence was affected by that. So there's a verse in the Bible that says, the wages of sin is death. And while I can understand, you know, someone seeing that as harsh or something, I think really what God is trying to tell us in that verse is just something about the way things are. He's trying to tell us about the way he made us, about the nature of reality. God knit us together in our mother's wombs. He knows how we were made. We live by laws, physical laws, all the time. We don't question them. You know, we can't breathe in water. We accept that. We don't try to breathe in water. We drink it. We appreciate its density because it sustains our life. And we don't wake up in the morning and try to take flight from our beds, you know, and get disappointed and frustrated and angry at God when we go falling to the floor in a big splatting pile. Right? Right. My point in saying this is this. There are spiritual laws too. There are spiritual laws. There are realities that are here. And, you know, God doesn't just make them what they are. He tells us what they are. God has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, so when we're saying, you know, God has these judgments, these commands, and I'm really thinking the word judgment much more means he's telling us what is. I mean, it's not like God just woke up one day and thought to himself, gee, you know, maybe sex outside of marriage is not in the best interest of mankind. No, I mean, he's just telling us something about the way things are. Our darkened minds cause us to forget or to lose sight of that which is truly instilled in our heart of hearts, written into the very code of ethos within us. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says, and it's the truth. And God is imploring us. He's telling us something. The wages of sin is death. Look at this. Understand this. Get this so that you can live the best, so that you can live the love that I have for you. And that verse isn't over. It goes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, from the point that each one of us chose to separate ourselves from God and distance ourselves from him, God has been working out a rescue plan. From way back when, from the fall of mankind in an overarching sense, God has been implementing this plan. Now, God wasn't about to take away our power to love. He wasn't about to take away our freedom. But God was working to find a way to take the death that we chose upon himself and give us his life, to take our pain and make it beautiful, which is right in line with the nature of love, is it not? And God says it this way, I so loved the world that even while you were hardening your heart, even while you were believing lies about me, even while you were wallowing in your filth, even then, when you were cursing me and not trusting me, even then, I loved you so much that I sent my son to die for you, to take that death, that despair, that hurt, that suffering upon myself. And if you'll just believe in that, if you'll just take this token of my love and give it some faith, well, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you eternal life. And I'm going to show you what love is. And this showing, this living, this new life, this doesn't just come, you know, somewhere over the rainbow in heaven someday. It's something that I am offering you right here, right now. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been lied to in the past. I've seen it all. But I am here and I'm asking you to give this some faith. Give it some faith. That's what God is saying to us. So here it is. Here's the good news. The maker of heaven and earth, the God of all, loving and faithful and kind, this God wants to know you. He wants to be known by you. He wants to walk in relationship with you. He has an opinion about what you do with your life and what you feel and what you think, and he can help you. You don't have to do this alone. You were never meant to do this alone. It makes sense that you've been stumbling around without him, and he's extending himself to you, extending his arms. He's extending his arms right there on the cross for you. And, you know, I understand the sentiment of, you know, this is just too good to be true. How do I know this isn't just some fantastical story? Well, I can tell you from my own knowledge, I've read a lot of books, I've studied this tons, and there's nothing, no religion that has greater credibility in my mind. But more than that, you know, most things that are true, we really have a hard time explaining. And I'm not sure why this works. I don't know how it all works. You know, how Christ dying pays for our sin and makes us, you know, puts us in right relationship with God through the faith that gets instilled in our hearts when we really look at that and wrestle with that and let that in, let the gift in. But I know that I know that I know that it does. I know that it works. And in like manner, the simple truths that are, you know, abounding in life are not explainable. Explain 2 + 2 = 4. The only explanation for 2 + 2 = 4 is itself. 2 + 2 = 4 because 2 + 2 = 4. And this is the same kind of thing. But it doesn't make it any less true. It is true. It's an intuitive known. And you can feel it calling out to your heart of hearts, your soul of souls, that may be buried but is still there. God can use every single bit of pain in your life for your good. There's two kinds of pain, futile pain or purposeful pain, and I'd much rather experience the second. Let God take it and make it something good. Let him heal you. Let this in. This is the Christ, our real hope in the face of our own real need. And hey, do me a favor, go out and pick up a New Testament and read the book of John. It's my absolute favorite. In it, you're going to find a radical man that was so much more than just a man, not given to religiosity or hypocrisy, but a man that came for people that need, just like you and like me. Thank you so much for listening.